We the bestest cast with the left twist. Matt fairly well dressed. Put me on the guest list. The guest list. Yeah, on the guest list. Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another week of On the Guest List with Foxtrot and the Get Down, White Sox Dave, and Kenny Carkey. With you from the band, as always, is your boy Colin from Chicago, Illinois. Back from Milwaukee, we have Dave Williams. Dave, how are you, buddy?
Chilling. Yeah, I have the best day of my entire life today.
Why?
Yes.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
All right, fair enough.
Pose my thoughts a little bit.
All right, fair enough. The man who's always the best day of his life, Mr. Kenny Carkey. Kenny, how is today for you?
You know what, man? Same. This is probably going to be the best day of my life. It's still early. It's 11 a.m. on the West Coast, but I have a good feeling about today.
Fair enough. And then back joining us as usually does, Mr. Robbie Fox from Barstool Sports. Robbie, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. It's actually funny that you guys said this because today's the best day of my life as well. We're all just having the best day of our lives over here.
Oh, my God, dude.
Best day of our life podcast.
This is way more positive than last week because we recorded at like fucking 1 o'clock Eastern time and everybody was like, let's just fucking get this done. Get out of here. This is nice, dude. Boys, great to have everybody back in the building. A lot to talk about this week. Two great guests this week. We have producer, musician, engineer, all around badass, Mr. Colin Britton on the podcast today.
Yeah, man.
We talk about a lot. He's a friend of Kenny's. He's worked with everybody, literally everybody in the alt rock scene. He's killing it right now. We talk about him moving to Nashville from LA, different industry cities, different things he's working on. And he's fully committed to helping Dave become a rock star. So we're excited about that. Also, we have Catastro, a band from Phoenix, Arizona, on today talking about their new single. Great dudes. They happen to have jinxed the Phoenix Suns losing the NBA title. They played the Game 3 watch party and in front of 15,000 people. It was their first show back. They're going back out on tour. But I said to him, because we recorded this before the series was over, and I was like, do you feel like you guys might have jinxed him? And he was like, oh, absolutely. We fucking jinxed the shit out of that team. So we have a lot to get into this week, boys. Great to have you guys back. Let's jump right into music news. A lot of shit dropped this week. Childish Gambino covered Brittany Howard for her new remix album. Absolutely outstanding. Love Gambino. Brandi Carlile's back with a new record. Leon Bridges just dropped an amazing new album. The Leon Bridges album's fucking spectacular. James Blake is back. And then someone we touched on a couple weeks ago when she dropped another new single. Lord dropped another new single. Has anybody heard this yet?
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, I put it on my, we'll get to it later, what I'm currently listening to, but Stoned at the Nail Salon, it is a jam.
Listen, I figured you two motherfuckers down at the bottom would love that title, Stoned at the Nail Salon. I listened to it. Dude, I listened to it, and my exact same thought from the last single, Solar Power, I was like, this doesn't sound finished. I don't know. I just can't get into it. I don't know why I want to so badly. Dude, I just can't.
I almost tweeted about the last two Lord songs today. I almost said they slap like Nate Diaz slaps. New Lord songs are just awesome to me. I love the sound of them. And I'm not a Lord guy. Like I know that Royal song, but I feel like I don't really know any Lord other than that. I've never seeked her out in my life.
I don't know, man. I'm trying to get into it. And I guess it's this new thing she's doing, but it just isn't hitting me. And I don't know why. And Kenny loves dissenting opinion.
I do love dissenting opinion. I haven't heard the newest one, but I mean, I'm a Lord fan. She's like Billie Eilish Senior. You know what I mean? The way she came out with like minimal production, really quirky shit and like funny dance moves and stuff like that. So like, I give it to her. I give her big respect. I'm not like Robbie said, I don't really go out hunting for her music, but yeah, I'm into it.
It's pretty amazing that we're talking about Billie Eilish Senior and Lord's probably like 23 years old.
Industry moves fast, son.
Industry moves real fuck. Life comes at you fast, motherfuckers, especially in the music industry. But the number one thing we have to talk about, and this jumps into something from last week's episode, I made myself look like an asshole. I think that's where we're coming to here, because I was heart set on the fact that Kanye was actually going to drop the album on time. I was 100% positive Yeezy season was upon us. And I was wrong. Dave, you and Dante were right.
I mean, he's just a fucking asshole, and I'm sure you're gonna like go into how this is part of his genius. I think he's just a douche.
And
I'm like, I gotta listen to the album because I just assumed he dropped it, and that was a bad assumption. Like, what's the point? Make your fucking music and shut up. I don't care anymore.
Right. Let's get into how it's genius at the same time. So the entire situation we're talking about here is live on Apple Music on Thursday night. Kanye did an entire release party at the fucking Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. 70,000 people, sold out. It's just him in the middle of a goddamn arena, head to toe, like red spandex with a mask on. It looked like a pair of pantyhose over his head. Kanye's Kanye. I don't know what to say. But he plays the entire new album. The features are unbelievable. A lot of people popped up. Vory, Lil Durk, Lil Baby. Jay-Z pops up with a verse that he recorded at 4 p.m. that day. But my number one takeaway when I listened to it, I was like, this doesn't sound finished, because a lot of Kanye's verses sound like he was just throwing car noises in there. He would just be mumbling through his verses and hit you with like a skirt, skirt. And I was like, oh, this isn't done. There's no way this is actually coming out.
Why is it that all of the things you just said are all of the things that make me like him so much? Like, what a fuck face, dude. He's the worst, but also the best. Like, sometimes bad is good, you know?
Dude, Robbie, we talked about this in the Fleetwood Mac episode where I said, like, it's an interesting idea to kind of premiere. They were touring Rumors before Rumors was finished to kind of get a read on what people were going to think about it. You know, Kanye played this and then had somebody scouring Twitter for fucking notes on what he didn't do. And the real glaring omission to the entire album was the fact that there was literally no drums. It was just fucking organs and him babbling over the top of it. I don't know. Did anybody else happen to watch the live stream, or was I the only one dumb enough to tune in?
I saw little bits and pieces of it, but also didn't he at the end of it just leave? Never said a single word. Like, that's so funny. He sold out a fucking arena to play a CD and then bounce without saying a word. Don't make me like him.
But he also
apparently he's doing it again too. I saw this morning that he might be doing another listening party at MSG.
And we're all gonna watch it. And the funny thing is, he was 2 hours late to his own listening party because he was working on the album in the bowels of the stadium and apparently is still living there. Like, no matter what you want to say about the guy, this is one of those things, and I say this all the time about Kanye. Dave, don't you dare roll your fucking eyes.
I have to, but go ahead. Say your piece.
We all need someone like Dave to keep us grounded in this kind of a situation, because I will just run with it and tell you what the Kool-Aid tells me to think, that this is the most genius thing of all time. But in the same way, like, I don't know. I want it just to be out. I want to be able to fucking listen to it. We'll see what happens when it does. But, like, the process of doing it this way is interesting. And I don't know. I'm still kind of crushed that it didn't come out because I look like a total dickhead.
I don't think there really is a process. I think his ego is just so fucking big. It's as big as Mars that, like, he thinks he can get away with this shit. I think it probably isn't done. I think he probably did half-ass it. I probably think that, you know, there was a million different people pulling from different ropes on the album, and I think this is the kind of product you get, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's just complete shit. I mean, it could be great. I'll give it a handful of listens, but I see people are so, like, indoctrinated by him that they just, whatever he does, he could fucking slip on a banana peel crossing the street and people be like, oh my God, that was genius right there.
That was hard.
Kanye is such a jolting personality, whether it's fake or not, which I think it's honest because he's kind of a weird guy, but his personality is so jarring that his personality is kind of his art. Like, it's kind, you know what I mean? Like, how fucking egotistical and shitty he is like kind of part of the project.
Imagine if, like, back in the day, the Beatles had done this shit. Like, the Beatles had gone and played their music to everybody.
It'd be like Van Halen not being drunk fuck faces. Okay. But you know what I mean? It's like, I feel like it's kind of like, of course he's an asshole. Of course.
Like, do I want to go see the Rolling Stones and Keith Richards isn't off his ass on Black Tar Heroin? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things.
Like, would I be happy if Kanye was a nice guy? I don't know. You know what I mean?
No, man. I mean, we'll leave it there. We're going to get back into the album eventually whenever it does drop, or if it goes to MSG. And by the way, Robbie, if you're not on the ground outside of there, like, interviewing these fucking lunatics like me, like, I would love to have been a man on the street to be able to go out to people and just hear what they had to say about the listening party. You would have got the most overhyped reactions about how it was the greatest album of all time.
Like, way overhyped, yeah.
Like the third book of the Bible, or third testament of the Bible.
See, I would rather have Dave go and interview people because Dave would be like, you guys are all fucking idiots. Like,
I really would. In fact, if he decides to do something back in his home city, I would be there.
There we go.
Oh, wow. There you go. I mean, Kanye, it's on you now.
It is on him.
In fact, now that I think about it, I'm a little offended he's not playing one of his little fucking, swindles, I'll call it.
Dave thinks Kanye's a grifter, and I appreciate that because he's probably right. Other than that, music news wise, Robbie, we talked about this a little bit off air, but you said you started the Paul McCartney documentary, correct?
Yeah. It is tremendous. It's right up my alley, and it's so good that you said I started it. I didn't finish it. I could have finished it. I had plenty of time. I was like, I'm savoring this, and I'm going to watch it one episode at a time. I'm going to like make it last a couple of weeks because it is right up my alley.
That is some willpower, man.
Seriously. Yeah, I can't do that with any TV show. Even if I've seen a TV show or documentary or something, then I have to go start to finish.
See, yeah, I'll watch 12 episodes in one sitting.
I'm doing that with the end of The Sopranos right now because I've watched the first five seasons of The Sopranos like six times, and I've never finished season six. So I'm doing like an episode a night, just going through and savoring it. And the fucked up thing is I know everybody who dies. Like, it's all been spoiled for me. I just want to see how it goes out. But other than that, the one thing I did bring up, Rolling Loud in Miami just happened yesterday. And absolutely electric atmosphere. Like, if you got to watch any of it, Robbie was talking about they fucking had like WWE there. They had performances. They had like 10 stages. But what really blew my mind, because I've never been to a hip hop festival. I've played and been to a million fucking festivals, but I've never seen a straight up hip hop festival. The energy was unbelievable and the crowd was fucking turnt, but like everybody was doing backing tracks and everybody was just kind of like DJing their own set. It was kind of weird to watch.
You know, when I saw Lizzo, I think it was like maybe the last concert I went to before the pandemic. That was the big takeaway I saw. And I like Lizzo a lot. I think she's tremendous. But the live show was lacking. And it was because there was just a DJ pressing play on her music. And Lizzo was the only one we were watching, which was fine. But if she would have had a band, it would have been one of the better shows I had been to in quite some time. And I feel like that's the case for a lot of people that are maybe new in genre. Even like a drummer would add so much. If you just had a drummer on stage with you, like that would be an experience. That would be a live crowd. Like, you know, it's more than just pressing play.
I have a hard time believing that Travis Barker didn't get an invite to play drums for everybody there, because that's all he's doing nowadays.
Without question, he definitely did. I mean, get Tony Royster Jr. or someone like Jay-Z's drummer is the best drummer on earth.
Oh, yeah. He's a fucking monster.
He played on some AWOL shit.
My brother got to soundcheck his kid at Yankee Stadium before a Eminem Jay-Z show there. Yeah. He was a stagehand and everyone knew that he was a drummer. So they were like, Mickey, do you want to soundcheck his kit? And he was like, yes.
And he played on Soul Wars by AWOL Nation. Go check it out. It's fucking amazing.
Little plug for Kenny trying to get those streaming numbers up, dude.
More of a fucking like, I've never heard anybody play drums like that in my fucking life. And the song's like kind of a heavy, fast, heavy synth rock song, and like Tony Royster just fucking murdered it, high as fuck, smoking blunts all day, and then doing 30-second note triplets, like, fuck, man.
There was one great industry thing happened this weekend though. So they live streamed the entire event, right? And Lil Uzi Vert was supposed to be the closing act on last night, and Rock Nation said that they're not allowed to live stream his set because there was new music in it and they didn't want to debut anything. And the head of Rolling Loud tweeted out, yo, should we just say fuck Rock Nation and just do this and take the fine or whatever it is? He's like, yo, Jay-Z, I love you, but whoever the woman who runs Rock Nation is on some bullshit. So we're just going to do it. And apparently they live streamed the entire set and just said fuck Rock Nation. That's a boss move, dude. You're fucking with like the head entertainment market there. Like, dude,
I love it. I fucking love it. And I'm here for all of it. That's fucking great.
And then the dude said, like, was like, yo, should we make a GoFundMe for the fine? And everybody was like, fuck you. You charge like $600 for a ticket. Pay it yourself, pussy. Oh, my God. All right.
Balls right there.
That's some huge balls, bro. Yeah. Huge balls.
Watermelon balls right there.
Yeah. Watermelon balls.
Watermelon balls, dude. All right. So we're going to go into our first interview here with Colin Britton. We're going to come out and do on the list, off list, and what the fuck we've been listening to, and then go into Catastro. So let's start it off with our interview with our new friend, Colin Britton. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on the guest list today, we have songwriter, producer, musician, engineer, all-around badass, Mr. Colin Britton on the podcast. Colin, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
No problem. First question. My name is also Colin. How dare you come on my podcast with the same name, dude?
Hey, wait, are you one L or two L's?
One L, the only right way.
That's the only way. Well, if it was two L's, then we'd have a problem.
Yeah, I was going to say, we might as well just close the Zoom at that point.
Yeah,
you're Britton with two T's, though.
Britton with two T's, yep.
God damn.
That was my name. That was the given name.
I know you were an LA guy for a while and you just moved to Nashville. What was the point of the move? Are you, you're originally from Nashville?
I'm from Tennessee. Yeah. I'm, my family's from Nashville. I've been in LA for like 7.5 years and, I don't know. There's just like, I'm not an LA native, so I don't have any family out there. So me and my wife were just sort of like, we've got a lot of fun here. I still have a studio in LA, so I'm back and forth a lot. I was just there. I've been back there for like the last 3 months. And I'm just kind of wanting to see what Nashville has to offer. It's like a totally different city than when I left it. And there's a lot of really dope shit that's popping up right now. So it's sort of like a lot of the projects I've got going on, the people live in Nashville. And I was like, you know, it was a really good time to like sell my property. I've got property in LA and I just sold it and sold my studio.
I don't know if you've been back in Nashville long enough, but do you feel any of the like mass exodus? Because I'm sure you know, and I know many, many people who have moved to Nashville in the last like 2 years from LA. And I've heard things like it's getting swamped out a little bit down there. Do you feel any of that?
I mean, it's like I've literally just been here for like a couple of days. So I can't say that I believe that yet because like it's still considerably smaller than Los Angeles.
Right.
You know, like LA's like still got so many people. I mean, it's like, you know, 5 times the size of Nashville still. So everybody's like, oh, it's getting so much more swamped and stuff. I'm like, dude, I don't know. I've been in the middle of the swamp for like 8 years. So I feel like this is actually like a nice little like break.
Yeah.
But you know, that's the thing. Like, I love big, busy cities. Like, that's the thing. I love being in the mix of stuff. I love the energy that, you know, bringing people, like running into people on the street that you know, and, you know, studios everywhere. And like, if you want to move to the suburbs and move to, you know, like get out of the city, you can always do that anywhere. But I personally believe that it's better for creativity to be like in the mix.
I agree with that 100%. Now, Kenny, that's a good point, though, because when I started going to Nashville in 2015, I remember when I started going there, people were kind of giving me a side eye, like, God damn it, everybody's coming here. And now it's kind of like, you can't stop it. It's 2020.
Well, it's like Austin is the new Nashville for some
reason.
Exactly.
It's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I personally, dude, I'm honestly was a little bit hesitant about coming here because I was just like, well, is it busy enough for me?
Ooh.
You know, like, for example, like the other night before I left, I was like, had a session, finished it up, walked downstairs, and my boy Devin Taylor, who plays drums for Justin Bieber, he's like downstairs doing a project. He's like, dude, I need a bass. Do you want to play some bass? You know, and I just like, oh, sure. I was going to go home, but all right, I'm down. So like, I just walked into there and like wound up jumping on a song with him. So it's like, there's always dope people in LA doing cool shit. And I'm like, I don't want to leave that because that's like part of my, you know, that's been like part of my thing is like, me, you know, being so collaborative with people. And I mean, that's how Kenny and I met, you know, years ago at Feldman's. Like, it's just like people are all the time around. So I've yet to like ascertain whether or not this is going to work out long term. Yeah. But, you know, it seems to be cool so far.
Well, yeah. If I could go quickly just into what he was saying about Feldman in 20, fuck, it must have been 2013 or something like that. I started working with John Feldman on the Used record and a bunch of other stuff. And then there was a couple other producers and programmers there, and Colin was one of them. And there were so many producers and programmers there that some were good, some weren't, but Colin immediately grabbed my attention with his skill set. I immediately asked him for all of his samples and shit. And I've just been a fan, you know, ever since. It's like in LA, like he's saying, you run into people, you meet all these new people, and every once in a while you find one that you're like, oh, I fucking respect this fucking guy. He's super talented. And that's been my vibe with Colin ever since.
I appreciate that.
Is the Feldman thing like a fucking songwriter's like camp out there? Like, does he just bring everybody in? Like, is that what it is?
I think Feldman is like really good at finding young talent, I think. Because there's been a couple of his dudes, like I'm one of them. And then, you know, there's like my friend Zach Savini.
Yep.
Is just tearing up the world right now. My friend Tommy English, you know, he's had some serious hits the last couple of years. And so it's like, you know, even just like the three of us. Oh, and then my friend John London is more of a recent Feldman graduate, I guess you could call him. But, you know, he's got a band that's really sick and like he's doing some cool shit. And so, and then my friend Matt Pauling as well. Like, there's just some really great talent that comes through his doors. I think he's just really good at, like, he's super demanding and he's got kind of a factory over there. But like, you know, John's really talented and he's even more talented at picking out, like, you know, people who are going to work out at a high level.
I like how you phrase it as he's a recent Feldman graduate, as if he runs a university over there.
That's kind of what it is. Like while Feldman has a bit of a machine, a war machine going on over there.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who works harder than Feldman, you know, for whatever that means. But at the same time, of the 15 people, young, up and coming, talented people he has at one time, 3 or 4 of those people will go on to do big things. And so he's got this cool launch platform. And I know many people, Colin, myself, Zach, Maddie, like all these people he's talking about who like have used that to double down and make great records.
Yeah. And when I met Kenny, I was like, kind of like, I was like, oh shit, that's the dude who like, he's one of the guys who did Sail and AWOL Nation was popping. And I was just like a huge fan. And so, you know, Kenny, you weren't really brought in as like a collaborator sort of thing. I think Feldman had a lot of respect for you in that way, and your songwriting and your programming and all that, and production and all that. I think so, like, Kenny, I remember you being more of like a you had your thing with AWOL and you had your production career already kind of going for you. At the time that I was there, it was very much like this was like my ground floor entry level. So I was just bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, like, wow, this is fucking sick.
I remember you had your whole fucking desk. You had your whole desk and all of your speakers and equipment and outboard gear all in the living room of his fucking spot.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, let's go quickly through your kind of like how you got to where you are, because you've worked with some giant fucking names. You work with Papa Roach, A Day to Remember, 5 Seconds of Summer, Avicii, All Time Low, Dreamers, Dashboard Confessional. How the fuck did you get here? Like, of course, Feldman was a step, but like, when do you feel like you knew that you were breaking? When did you know that you were getting to where you were going?
I still don't think I'm getting to where I'm going. I feel like I'm not anywhere close to where I need to be right now. I'm just like clawing at the bit still. Like, I feel it's, you know, like, I don't know, dude, that's an interesting question. Cause it's just like the second that you're like, I've made it, you're fucked.
Yeah. Yep.
You're so fucked. It's just too competitive. I think that the second that I felt like I was like competing well, was probably like 2016. Cause I did One OK Rocks album, which turned out great. And I was starting to work with All Time Low. And I did the first Papa Roach album that we did with my friend Nick Furlong, who's phenomenally talented as well. And those three kind of like back to back to back. I felt like I was like, okay, we're getting somewhere.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm getting somewhere.
You're on the right path.
And, you know, but like, other than that, like, I haven't really felt like I've like, you know, cause I do have people come up to me and be like, dude, how did you, you know, like, oh, you've got so many credits. And I'm like, really? Like, it doesn't feel like I've been doing it that long. But I don't know. You got to stay hungry. That's all I can say, really. Well,
one of us in the chat here isn't hungry anymore because he's a diamond record. So,
oh shit,
Kenny got the diamond. So Kenny's
I'm full, baby.
Yeah, Kenny's no longer
he's
hungry.
Full.
Oh man.
And he's just like hanging out at his pool all day, just naked, just sunbathing.
I'm done working hard is my vibe.
Yeah, Kenny's at his pool sunbathing while me and Dave feed him grapes.
Well, hey, that's like the goal for everybody, is to get to that point where people are feeding them grapes while they're sunbathing naked poolside. What is that for you though? Because you have worked with like the who's who of the current music landscape and, you know, alt rock and everything. What's like the pinnacle for you where you can finally say, I have made it, and nobody can take that for you and you won't be fucked?
I mean, you know, there's like always milestones that you go for. Like, you know, winning a Grammy is obviously amazing, but that's very political.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily mean you made the best music. It just means that these certain group of people thought that you made the best music that year or whatever. Like, I think that if you look at milestones like that as like you've made, like I said, if you have to love the process, you know what I'm saying? And I think Mike Myers said something like incredible. I'm paraphrasing here, but he's basically like, if you make it for somebody else, you will always be disappointed.
Yes.
If you make it for yourself, then you will sometimes, or if you're looking for the result, you'll always be disappointed. If you're looking for yourself, you'll be half the time disappointed. But then if you love the process and you just wake up to do it just because you love the process, you will never be disappointed.
That's exactly what I fucking preach all the time. Man.
Literally,
that's exactly.
Those are from Kenny's mouth. Like, those are Kenny's words.
If you're making music for your fucking streaming numbers, or you're making music for the fat fucking slob behind the desk who tells you you need a mid-tempo fucking song, you're going to be disappointed.
You're going to be chasing that dragon forever. You're never going to be satisfied. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, and I think that goes the same as like for accolades and all that. They're just like, you know, I'm staying in my friend Ryan Hewitt's house right now while we're doing construction on our new property in
the
East
mixer.
And, yeah, Ryan.
He mixed the Anti-Flag record I did.
Sick. So great dude. A good friend of mine. He's got like I'm like renting his house from him because he's in LA right now. And literally, the dude's got like a Grammy just like sitting on the
just
like,
chilling
in the corner of his house, like in the corner of my living room.
Pretty baller.
And it's like not even like it's not even like on display really. It's just like on the shelf, like, you know. And it's just that in and of itself is so humbling to me. I was just like, dude, this guy is so good that he literally has a Grammy sitting in the corner of his
and he doesn't give a fuck.
Well, yeah, can I actually say my theory on that? I think he that was in his closet and he put that in there when you moved in just to like let you know where you were.
Yeah.
Little dose of humble pie.
Yeah.
I think it's just like the point is that like if you were to take the Grammy away or whatever from anybody, it's like it doesn't really like make you fall in love with the process anymore. It's just a freaking thing. It's just like a trophy.
Yeah. If I could say something too, it's like the Grammy, like you said, it's just a political fucking thing. But going back to the accolades, Colin, it's like you having all these rock number ones. That's more important to
me.
For
sure.
Because that speaks to the people and what people are listening to and what's working, not what some fuckers voted upon. So like all those number ones, that's the goal.
I think that it's not even, I mean, look, I'm not going to lie. That every time that happens for me, I feel great. And I'm like, damn, we did it again. Like, man, this is awesome. Like fucking cool. But then like, it doesn't really like make me love my process anymore. So, you know, I'm more excited about like this shit that I'm starting up this week. But like on Thursday, you know, I just bought this awesome piano, like literally like 20 minutes ago. And I'm like excited because they're going to go bring it and load it in and tune it up. And I get like a new piano so I can record this great record that's coming up. And I'm like super hyped about that. I'm going to Home Depot today to like get shit for my vocal booth and stuff. Like,
yeah.
That's not even my process. That's just like preparing to do my process. And I'm more excited about this than I am about, you know, that fucking number one or whatever. Like it just doesn't, it's, and I think that like, if you don't have like, if you don't like love your process, like passionate, like stupidly passionately, then it's so hard, so competitive, that any like sane person would just be like, fuck no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you see people burn out all the time because they really don't love it. They just want to be involved in the scene. They don't really love what they're doing. So enough times you get told no or punched in the face by the industry, and a lot of people will just tap out.
I mean, I still have those days. Like yesterday, honestly, was one of those days. There was just a bunch of like bullshit. I was on the phone with my manager. It's just like a bunch of BS from different projects, you know, like whatever, I won't go into details, but it was like one of those days where it was just like the universe was going, nah, not today. You know what I mean? Everybody has those days. And I was just like, fuck, man. Like I thought I was past this, but then it makes you really eat some humble pie and you kind of go, shit, maybe I'm not. Like maybe I can't ask for this, or maybe it's like, and then it makes you go, well, you go home and you're like, well, fuck, at least I get to make music. Like, at least I'm still getting paid to make music.
Yeah.
And then it all kind of goes away.
Dude, the songwriting producing community is so small that even if you don't know a producer, you kind of know what they're up to. That's just kind of the way that this world works. And I think we've all known, and I've heard, that Colin has this mentality, and it's so reassuring to hear you say, these things because it's so important to me exactly what you're saying. It's like so much of that shit that people think matters doesn't fucking matter. No. It's all about loving the process and loving what you're creating and creating for yourself. And that's fucking great, man. I love
and
to
it's
hear
funny. It's funny you said that too about kind of like yesterday was a day where you were like, what the fuck? And then usually what happens for me, and I think this is a universal thing for a lot of people in a creative community, Davis includes you too with Barstool.
Mm-hmm.
Every bad day that I've ever had usually gets followed by a good one. And I think that's what keeps you going. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be able to take the ups and downs if you want to be in this kind of an industry.
Absolutely, dude. And there's people, though, like Kenny in particular. I mean, Kenny's one of the, like, most, like, bright-souled persons I know. Like, you always are just so stoked. And that's what I fucking love about you. And that's what I love. Like, even the music that you're putting out, like, your own music you just put out the other day, it's just all... Everything that you work on and everything that you're putting up and putting out the universe is just like, fuck, I'm stoked.
Like, you're the first person to ever admit that Kenny has a soul. I want you to know that.
Yeah, Kenny has one. He doesn't like people to know he does, though.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like that energy. But like people like completely get like, dude, the universe is rigged in a way that if you ask it for, you know, one thing. Very specifically over and over again, you will probably get that one thing. And that's to make, in our case, I think is to make music for a living and to, like, you know, millions of people around the world to change their lives with the music that we create, in the same way that I'm sure that it was the same for Kenny and for you guys. But for me, growing up, hearing music and having that shit completely change my headspace and change my life. I think that, like, if you ask the universe for that enough times and you really put the work into it, then you're going to get that. It's just when you're asking for, like, oh, I want freaking money and I want cars and I want, like, recognition and all these things that don't really, like, mean anything. It's just, it's not rigged that way. You're not going to get that exact same thing. Or maybe you'll get that. But if you get that, you'll realize that there's nothing behind it.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of people trying to take shortcuts to that end goal. And that's just not the way it works. And even with AWOL, slow burn, you know, it's like, do you got to do your time? There is no shortcuts. You got to fucking do it.
I love what you said about asking the universe for things, because I truly do believe in that. And Dave, this pertains to you. If you keep asking the universe to one day lose your virginity, dude, you're going to do it. I know
one day.
You're going to have sex. It'll get there, dude. I know it.
It'll get there. Probably not.
There's a lot of girls out there, you know, like one of them eventually.
Are any of them into 5'7" internet bloggers? Probably not.
Oh, my God. Real quick, Colin. So back on a musical track. So you've worked a lot of established acts.
Yep.
Who are some young artists that you're interested in working in, or someone you're working with right now that is piquing your interest?
Like unsigned, or just like kind of like, or does it matter? Like,
on the come up, unsigned, signed people that you're not a Papa Roach of the world, not a fucking 5 Seconds of Summer, like someone that you're on the come up with.
So there's this kid, his name's Elijah Knoll. He's actually a friend of Kenny's as well.
Dude.
And I liked him so much that I was like, dude, let's start a band together. And this was like probably 2 years ago before he's since signed like a big deal with Universal. And I just met him and his attitude was so great. And his top lining was so good. I was just like,
so good.
This kid is going to be, he's a great singer and really, really talented lyricist. Him melody writer, and I was like, this kid has just got an attitude that's just so great. So we started this thing, and it's kind of his thing. Like, I'm not in the band like officially as far as like the pictures or anything like that, but it's our project and it's called American Teeth,
right?
And that's kind of been like my probably like one passion project. We signed with Fearless Records last year, and we're about to put out a record this year in October, and probably that'd be the one thing that I've been like the most, you know, because here's the thing, we're not just doing this artist project together, but we're also, you know, we're writing with 5 Seconds of Summer together, we're writing with we're doing stuff with this girl Royal and the Serpent, and honestly he just comes in and he just writes like anything that I bring in, he usually comes in and writes on, or something that he's really excited about. And he's really been, and it's again, it's like the positive attitude, like he's such a positive dude and such a
really nice person, and it just adds a lot to the creative process. So his name's Elijah Knoll, American Teeth. Go check him out. He's super sick.
I'll absolutely back that. I've known Elijah for a long time. I've always been blown away by his attitude and his talent, and I've seen him for years find who he is musically. And Colin, you nailed it. You guys found it, and it's fucking great, and I'm here to watch it. I love it so much.
Yo, on the note of American Teeth, this is more like a personal ego question, I think. In the grand scheme of things, would you rather have a successful career as a musician in a band or a successful career as a songwriter or producer? This is just literally like rock star fantasy style. Like, would you rather be on stage or be in the studio?
Well, I was in a band for a long time, and I decided that was just not really my path. I would 100% rather be a producer and a songwriter, I think, because... And that's why guys like, I think me and Kenny are able to just like go and do this stuff really quickly, because, you know, it's like working out all the time. Like you exercise those creative muscles all the time. And I think if you're traveling a lot, you're doing the playing for people, it's just, you don't get that every single day. And, you know, that's where we come in, I think.
I mean, dude, you're doing an amazing job. Obviously, things are fucking taking off for you. Congratulations on absolutely everything you have going on. What's the next thing you have dropping? Like, is there something you want to plug or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I'll go ahead and plug this. So me and my friend Nick Furlong did the new Papa Roach. And that's coming out at the end of this month, I believe. I don't know if they've officially released it. They can call me and yell at me if they want to. I'm spilling the beans on something, but I think it's coming out, want to say August 1st, something like that, but it's featuring my boy Swaco, and my boy, Jason, Alon Butler from the Fever 333.
Oh, I love the Fever 333.
Dude, this track is sick. It's called Swerve. It's so dope. I don't know if I'm supposed to be talking about it yet, but it's coming out at the end of this month, but dude, it is so sick. And, they shot the video for it. It's just like, dude, it's such a vibe. So I can't wait for that one.
Bro, everything you have going on is fucking amazing. We're really happy to have you here today. And I do have one more thing to ask of you. When we come to Nashville, so we're turning Dave into a rock star. That's part of this whole video series.
Okay.
So Dave is actually playing a show with us. I'm the lead singer of a band called Foxtrot and the Get Down for 25,000 people in New Jersey. Right? Oh, he's rocking my shirt right now. Sick. I didn't know that.
That's right.
So Dave is playing his first show at an amphitheater in New Jersey, right?
Amazing.
So when we come to Nashville, one thing I want to work on is songwriting for Dave as well. So when we come to Nashville to film this shit, I need you to be a part of this.
I would love that.
All right.
I would love that. Let's do it.
We can have you hone Dave's craft as a songwriter.
Let's go. Are we going to film the whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
He needs to write songs about sports and drinking and Barstool and White Sox and gambling.
Yeah, that's pretty much my whole life. And I'm picking up sixes at bars.
The song needs to be about Dave picking longing to lose his virginity. Picking up sixes is the name of the song.
Picking up six.
That's a lyric.
You know what? Sixes. Wait, that's like going to be the opening lyric of a song one day, that it will be like bread for me and it'll be birth for me. Just wait.
Picking up six, but I'll settle for a three.
That's what I'm talking about. See, we're on it.
Oh my God. Dave's going home with a six or two threes. It doesn't matter. One of the two.
Hey man, two threes or two twos, dude. You know what? Three twos equals a six.
That's what I'm saying. That's right. That's what I've always said.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Amen to that.
We have
Amen,
the Reverend. Beginning of Dave's song already, dude. We need to get to Nashville and get this started.
Let's go.
Oh,
I got the studio.
God.
I got the people. Let's go.
All right. Colin Britton, he's a part of the team now. We're going to turn Dave into a fucking rock star. Dude, we can't thank you enough. Hopefully,
Thanks
we'll see you soon.
Me.
All right. No problem.
All right, brothers. See you
Thanks,
guys.
Brother. Bye.
Thanks, man.
All right, so that's our new friend, Colin Britton. Go check everything American Teeth has going on now. Go check out all the albums that he's been working on. Kenny, once again, thank you for hooking it up as well.
Yeah, man. Colin's a real one. Like I always say about all the people I try to get on here, like, try to get the real ones on here. And I love Colin, and he's so fucking good at what he does. And, like, I love that I was inspired by him at his earliest stage in his career. And then to watch him just fucking take off and have rock number ones, like, three or four number ones at rock. Like, that's fucking massive, man. Good on Colin.
My favorite part of the interview was when he was saying that he just moved to Nashville from LA. And I was like, how is that? Like, what's going on there? Cause I'm a Nashville guy. Kenny's an LA guy. And he goes, man, I just hope it's busy enough for me. And I was like, I've never heard anybody ever say that Nashville's not busy enough for them, dude. It's fucking nuts. There's a difference between the industry cities, but I think he'll figure out that Nashville's pretty popping.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. For sure.
For sure. All right. So let's get into on the list, off the list. We'll go me, Dave, Robbie, Kenny. I'm going to start off. My on the list is NPR's Tiny Desk. The amount of joy that NPR's Tiny Desk has given me over the years and the raw nature of what they do is so fucking sick. Vince Staples, who we've been talking a lot about on this podcast, did his with Kenny Beats, who's an amazing producer who produced a lot of the last album, and a full live band. And they did it from this like overlook in LA with like the beach in the background. And I love the fact that they've pivoted to do these kind of at home things. NPR Tiny Desk. Anybody have like a favorite NPR Tiny Desk?
I love this.
Great question.
What'd you say?
Susan Tedeschi.
Oh yeah. That's a fucking amazing one.
It's called Tedeschi Trucks. It's just, they're all awesome. The Mac Miller one's awesome.
And Miller's classic. Yeah.
That's like a layup, you know, posthumous one or posthumous, whatever you say it. How you say it?
Yeah. Posthumous.
Posthumous.
Yeah. The
Anderson Paak.
That's my favorite one. Yeah. The Anderson Paak one's amazing. Our boy Chill Moody did it, and he's a fucking genius. He came on the podcast. He has a branded beer, like he has his own beer, and he put it up on the shelf on Bob Boylan's desk. So every time somebody goes on, you see his IPA sitting behind everybody. So
smart.
Shouts out Chill Moody. Dave, who's on your list?
This week I got Road Trips on. We were talking like prior to us recording. It was the first time I'd gone just on the road a little bit, even though Milwaukee's so close this weekend. You just stop, get a bunch of fucking shitty, disgusting, fake gas station food, hit the road. You know, blast some tunes, bullshit, and it's the best. You got the windows cranked. And Wisconsin's kind of, I went to Wisconsin, I went to Milwaukee, if I didn't say that already, I forget if I did. But it's like the opposite of Illinois, where you can get fireworks like on everywhere. And I love blowing shit up, it's fun. And then it's called the Mars Cheese Castle. It's right over the border. And Wisconsin's like cheese country, and you go there and it's just, spend $50, you get some of the best cheeses you'll ever eat. And so I stopped there on the way back in Road Trips. I missed being on the road just cruising.
Join the fucking club, dude. Me too.
Just one of the best reasons music ever existed.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dave, you're on your way to the rock star shit, because if you're ready to be on the road, now do that for like 2 months straight and then talk.
It's a very important job, whoever's fucking DJing. And
oh, yeah.
After AWOL, I went to a band called Fitness, and we did a 7,000, I'm not even kidding, 7,000 miles in a minivan and for over 3 weeks. And that playlist, those songs you put on, whether it's driving to a show or after driving at night, so important. Like the most important decision you may ever make in your entire life is what song you put in when you're leaving the concert venue and driving to the next show.
It's honestly not too, I know it's like a fake scene and everything, but in Tommy Boy, when they're cruising and they're all like arguing over the music, that's real life though. Because if you're in that passenger seat, you have to be the perfect DJ for that situation. Like you got to know when to go from country to rock, and rock to classic rock, to alt rock, to rap.
And then there's the people who do it at the wrong time. Eric, our other guitar player, he is the all-time worst DJ in the fact that he always, when everybody else in the car is sleeping, he wants to put on Sayosin or some fucking death metal shit. And come then when on, everybody man. Is trying to stay awake, like fighting to stay awake, your eyes are dropping, you're on the fucking rumble strips, and he's putting on fucking like the head in the
Enya.
Heart.
Like,
yeah.
I just say Enya.
It's like, and I'm just sitting there like, dude, can you put the metal shit back on? He goes, nah, I'm not in the mood. I'm like, fuck you. All right, Robbie, who's on your list?
So I don't know how Kenny's going to feel about who's on my list this week. Because I've got a musical artist that I feel like is maybe a little polarizing. And she's someone that I really just discovered this week, and it's Willow Smith. I think she just goes by Willow.
Interesting.
But man, she put out an album this past week, and I listened to the whole thing front to back, and it's got, you know, plenty of Travis Barker features, which I know Kenny loves. And I was stunned at how much I liked it. I was like, God damn, this is like some pop punk, some alt rock, some industrial rock. A lot of attitude, and overall I was just stunned at how much I liked it. I dug into some of her older stuff. Doesn't sound anything like her current album, and it's also cool. So Willow Smith, just Willow on Spotify.
I kind of dig her, man. I'm kind of into her. All right. I back your decision. I mean, I read an article that on one of her recent shows, during Whip My Hair, that I whip my hair back and forth, which, by the way, is one of the dopest fucking songs ever. She shaved her fucking head on stage while doing that song. What? I mean, how much more fucking hardcore can you get?
That's
dude?
Rock
I mean,
and roll.
That's what I'm saying. I respect her big time. I'm into it.
It is kind of weird, though, to look at the face of, like, rock and roll, and it's, like, a rich kid in a way. Like, you know what I mean? Like, have we reached the legacy act point of rock and roll where it's just like, all right, like, whatever.
I mean,
know.
But that's so bad. I mean, we were talking about Jacob Dylan last
yeah,
week.
Yeah, this is nothing
shit.
New.
It's like nothing new. It's all the same.
I will say I did listen to some of her shit, and it's well done. It's really yeah. well done. The jaded side of me is like, yeah, whatever, dude. But like, it's well done. I can't deny that. And the song with Avril Lavigne, I was going to bring that up.
Yeah, it's good.
Anything to bring Skater Boy back, I'm fucking in for it, bro. Kenny, who is on your list?
Kind of a random one. I don't give a fuck about the Olympics. Never really have. I mean, as I was a kid, maybe I did. But as I got older, I'm just like, I don't really care. But this year, skateboarding and surfing, fucking finally, we're talking about controversies with hammer throwers and fucking 10-meter synchronized fucking diving. Get fucked. Like, skateboarding is one of the biggest sports on earth. So yep. is fucking surfing. And God damn it, I am so happy that they are in the Olympics. It's about time. And it's two 13-year-old girls won gold and silver at the fucking first ever skateboarding Olympics. And like, Team USA is looking stacked for fucking surfing. And like, now I'm like,
kid hit a 1080 on a
Yeah.
Jesus.
And for the U.S., we got Nyjah Huston, fucking like our boy.
He lost.
I know. But like to watch, we've watched him from the dreads going down to his ankles when he was like 8 years old, right?
Yeah.
To being in the fucking Olympics and crushing and being a billionaire, basically. Anyway, I'm just super stoked that like action sports are finally like getting a little worldwide respect in that way.
Dude, it's so global too. Like skateboarding is fucking huge, especially in like Japan and shit. Like,
yeah,
it's
South
fucking
America. Huge. Fuck yeah, Brazil.
Yeah, dude.
Fucking everywhere.
I had never got into skateboarding or anything personally, but like to this day, I'll watch the X Games every summer.
Oh yeah,
and it's fun as fuck to watch.
Dude, do yourself
X Games
a favor.
Are some of the best like background TV you could ever.
Oh yeah, definitely 100% background TV. Right.
Dude, the childhood years of like fucking Bucky Lassick and Bob Burnquist
with the sports goggles. Oh, I loved it. Dude,
yeah. Video game on N64 and then to Xbox and PS4 and all that. Like, I got so into those video games that like I felt like I knew the fucking skateboarders. Like you said, Bob Burnquist, Bucky Lassick and all that. Tony Hawk just seems like an awesome dude. I'm all in. Kenny, I love that pick.
Thanks, great pick. Man.
If there was one sport I wish I was good at besides golf, because I wish I was like an expert golfer, because that's just like a great adult skill to have, it'd be skateboarding. I would
totally. When people do the little kick up, get the board like that.
This is why I surf now, though, because it's a little bit easier on my bones.
Yeah, there's much less of a risk of dying.
You fall into the water. That's nice. Yeah.
Unless you have a negative encounter with a shark. It's not a shark attack anymore. It's a negative encounter.
I mean, to be fair, I've been held under for what seemed like 19 minutes before and scared for my life. But surfing is really fun.
Fuck yeah. My off the list. This goes to Robbie and Kenny. And this is something I'm afraid for Kenny's health. Let's just put
I'll
it this way.
I'll give you a fuck you right now.
Okay, hold on. So this isn't as much a off the list as it is a hot seat. And it's weed. So there is this, hold on. I'm just trying to help you, bro. There was like some fucking medical study done in Denmark that said they're finding a corollary between smoking massive amounts of weed and schizophrenia. They're finding like some, like, I know Kenny's rolling his eyes at me right now. Robbie's like, go calling his doctor. But yeah, like some big medical thing came out from Denmark, which I don't know what they know. Fuck you, Denmark. That smoking massive amounts of weeds leads to schizophrenia. Kenny, any comments?
I mean, I don't even know where to fucking start on that goddamn shit, man. Because like, look at what alcohol can do. Look at what fucking pharmaceuticals can do. Look at what fucking GMO fucking food has done. Look at what like, I mean, at some point it doesn't fucking matter. But like the health benefits, even just mentally, I don't even know what to fucking say to that because like everything else is so much worse for you than fucking weed. Schizophrenia? Come on, man. Like how many schizophrenics are they interviewing that they're like, all right, these people smoked X amount of weed and now they're fucking losing it. Come on.
Right,
there was no like metric on how much a substantial amount of weed was. Like,
how much is a lot? I smoke a lot. Maybe I'm fucking schizophrenic. I don't know.
That would make a lot of sense.
You know how maybe you could solve that, though, if you get a little anxious, being like, oh, I'm schizophrenic, smoke some weed.
Yeah, see, there you go. There you go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, I saw that. That popped up in my timeline the other day, and I was like, well, I need Kenny and Robbie's opinion on this as weed lovers. And Dave, I don't know if 3-Chi has any effects, but
at least it doesn't turn you into an asshole like alcohol does.
Yeah.
It's true.
I don't know that anybody's ever gotten high and then like fucking tried to fight people at a bar. I don't think it happens. No, like
gotten that. Aggressive. It's never happened. Nah. Nobody gets high and goes and steals stuff. Nobody gets high and does any of that shit.
Oh my
I've
God.
I've done some really stupid things drunk before. I've never done stupid high other than like sit and melt my couch and eat too much like Mexican food.
Yeah, man. Totally. Think about if the whole world smoked just a little bit of weed, how much more mellow shit would be. That's what I'm saying.
Everybody would be schizophrenic. Dave, who is on or who's off your list?
Fat shamers. I got
okay.
Fat shamed a little bit this weekend, which is fine. I consider it like positive reinforcement or, you know, motivation. And I just, you know, point to the Peloton that is chilling over there and I say, hey, I got a Peloton. You're the fat one, asshole.
Dave, Dave, you're not fat.
I want to ask Robbie this. Robbie, what would you say is the one thing that most people say is the worst part of working at Barstool?
The one thing that people say is
the- out here, but everybody puts, I mean, you can't because you can't gain an ounce if you yeah. got paid $1 million, but
I couldn't if I tried.
Everybody gets fat working at Barstool.
Oh, that. Yeah. That's the least.
I saw the picture.
Yeah, it has never been a concern for me.
Yeah, Robbie, could you get fat?
No, I tried really. I put on 40 pounds in high school because I was trying. I was like going to the gym, eating weight gainer. I was like doing my hardest because I wanted to be a pro wrestler. A whole story we'll get into another day. But I had to really work at putting weight on. And then as soon as I stopped working at it, I just kept losing it.
What champagne problems to not be able
I
to
know, right? I'm not a fat shamer, but I do call people fat fucks. And it's mostly people like Robbie just because it's obviously untrue and so fucking funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
there's nothing be better
than
so
calling
call
a skinny
fat
person
fuck.
You fat fuck.
Dave, I've never
that would
looked,
make me laugh.
I've never looked at Dave and been like, you fat piece of shit. That would not
never.
Be
ever. Dave looks
the
buff to
way
me.
To describe me, I would say, is just out of shape.
Okay,
buff to me, Dave.
Like, cause I think I could run a mile faster than 95% of Barstool. I could run a seven or less minute mile.
I can't even That's run crazy. A mile. I'd gas out before I got there. So, like, what does same. That fucking tell you?
I mean, you and Bob are in the same boat.
Maybe yeah, man, we could do okay. a baton handoff. We could each run half a mile against.
If
your
Robbie moment. And I did a relay. Yeah, get the finish line.
Get the heaviest weed smokers at Barstool, and then everybody else will run, but you guys get a quarter mile handoff.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just so we don't have people keeling over.
And maybe we each have to like carry a joint like it's the Olympic torch and hand it off to the next person.
I like this.
This is a
Barstool
good idea.
Event.
I like that.
Yeah.
Robbie, who is off your list?
So initially I was thinking I would have kind of a chalk pick and throw Kanye off my list, even though I'm a Kanye fan, just because for the last week I've been going, this could be the return of the throne. And that's the only lyric from the whole album that I know. So it's the only thing that's stuck in my head, but I'm going to throw cockroaches off my list.
Ooh.
Cockroaches are my biggest fear, boys. This is, wow. You know, take my man card, call me a pussy, do what you must. But bugs in general, crawlers, creepy critters, I hate them.
I don't I absolutely. Like, I can't even same, watch same. Like, if I'm watching like Planet Earth or something. And
exactly. Me neither.
Spider, I'm turning it.
I go.
Off.
Oh.
I either get my wife to kill the bug, or I get the vacuum with the long tube, and I try to suck that fucking thing up. You know what I mean?
Dude,
like I feel you, Robbie.
My wife will literally wait for me to come home from the studio. Like if there's a spider in the house, and she'll be like, "Yeah, there's a spider. You need to come home." And I'll be like, "I'll be home in an hour, whatever." Bro. And it will still be there when I get home, like quarantined
so
in one area.
It's so fucked up.
Opposite with snakes. Like snakes, if so long as it's not venomous and I know like it can't hurt me, I will have no problem picking up a snake. And like
it's so fucked up that I'm from Florida swampland and I can't do bugs or snakes. Nope. Spiders, nope. Fuck that, get the fuck out of here.
All right, knowing this now, knowing that all of you guys are with me on the bug thing, I got into an Uber to work this week and man, I saw a cockroach on the ceiling of this Uber about 2 minutes into the ride. 2 minutes into probably like a 20-25 minute ride. Well, I thought about it. I thought about just like I was getting kidnapped or something, like rolling out.
Yeah.
But I was just like, oh my God, what do I do? What do I do? So I like squirmed out of the way of it because it's above me. And then I say to the driver, I'm like, sir, I think there's a cockroach in your car. And without missing a beat, he turned around, like kind of looked at it, looked down, and he was like, huh, how long you live in Jersey City? And I was like, sir, that doesn't solve my problem at all. And then as soon as I looked back, I lost it. And then I was like, oh my God, I lost the cockroach now. So now I'm like the kids in like Jurassic Park, you know, I'm like turning around every corner. Like, what the fuck? My feet aren't touching the ground. My feet aren't touching the ground. As I'm telling this story because I'm still afraid of this cockroach. And then it comes up on the fucking seat next to me. I swear to God. And I have video proof of this because I was like, nobody's going to believe this story. So I whip my phone out, I take a little video, starts crawling towards me. Like we paid for an Uber pool together. We did not. This was my Uber alone. It was an Uber X. And I just took a piece of paper out of my backpack. I flinged it under the seat and I got out blocks away from the office. I walked about 10 minutes to the rest of the way because it's like I can't do it. But yeah, that was my scary story of the week. Cockroaches off.
That's
the
horrifying. I'm glad you're still with us.
How did you see a cockroach with a gun before I touch one?
Whoa, hold on real quick. We did not bring this up. This is a Barstool related thing. Did you guys see the video of Sidney Wells shooting the fucking pigs out of the helicopter?
Crazy. With a machine gun? Yeah.
Holy like shit.
40 seconds.
She was like Arnold Schwarzenegger or something. Yeah.
Like, what's that movie with where they blow up the bridge in Florida? True Lies. It was like
True Lies, baby.
True Lies. Yeah. Dude, that was the fucking craziest thing I've ever seen. But there's a video. I was at my boy's house and I showed him that video and he was like, yo, you need to watch this. And Kenny, apparently in Florida, they have these giant iguana problems that are like overrunning Florida. So yeah, there's people on fan boats now going with fucking machine guns and gunning these things down. On
they
the side
get
of the river.
Paid per pelt, like the fucking crazy, 1800s for anacondas, for those iguanas, for gators, like, cause it's all overrun. You can put a city in the swamp and it's still the fucking swamp. Like, you know what I mean?
They had that in Illinois a while back because I got a bunch of friends from like bumfuck country Illinois and they would go out on weekends and they would just hunt coyotes because coyotes were overrun so bad that it was a problem. They were like killing everything and they would get $100 a pelt, like walk away a couple grand a piece.
Yeah.
I feel bad about that though because coyotes are just big dogs. Like,
I feel bad about that.
They kill dogs.
Fucking timber.
Right. They do kill dogs and it's kind of a thing out here in California where like coyotes get into people's backyards and kill their dogs and cats and all that shit. Kind of often too out here.
Oh, I'll gun a coyote.
Yeah, I'll punch one right in the fucking face.
Dude, we had a bear loose in my neighborhood last year. Like a fucking baby black bear. And they found it in like a fucking like a big cinder block tube that they were using to build a tunnel or something like that. And he was just chilling in there. But my dog is like he looks like a big black bear. So like we seen this thing and I'm like, dude, is that fucking Vinny? Did Vinny get out the backyard? nobody died. It was all good. Kenny, who's off your list?
I didn't know Robbie was going to be here today. So I'm going to actually dedicate this one to my friend Robbie. Off the list is my own friends, my own homies, Dirty Heads.
You put
out a fucking song with Travis fucking Barker when your drummer Matty Ochoa is one of the dopest fucking drummers on goddamn earth. Bro, y'all are reaching. Knock it off. Like, let's fucking go. Come on, man. Dirty Heads, bro. I love you guys to death. You guys are my homeboys. What the fuck, man?
At what point do we hit oversaturation where it's like U2 featuring Travis Barker?
Travis Barker's like, the new Dave Grohl, you know what I mean? Who's the new Bono? Like, it's like this lineage, it's fucked up.
You got to admit, though, I don't like it, but Travis Barker must be caking right now. He must just
I'm sure. And I'm also sure that, like, Dirty Heads didn't even meet Travis. Somebody sent him the song. He fucking recorded it at a different studio, sent it back. It's in the song. Now it's a release. It's a whole thing. You're like, fuck, man.
Who would be the most random person for Travis Barker? Like Tony Bennett featuring Travis Barker would be fucking.
Or featuring Travis Barker.
That might happen. But I'm thinking,
we're still trying to get him for Pop Punk. We might write a song like, "Why won't Travis Barker feature on our stuff?"
That's what I'm talking about. That'd be
great.
That's
a good
like,
idea.
But like, okay, with Travis Barker, just real quick, it's like I'd love to see because he plays with hip hop people. There's this new immersion of rap meets pop punk kind of thing happening, right? Which is kind of dope. And I get the new genre melding. But like Travis Barker with the fucking triplet hi-hats and the fucking like over Tom Satch, like play a hip hop beat. Give me a Tony Royster beat. Like maybe help the genre of the song instead of just the same fucking Travis Barker. It's like, oh, it's featuring Travis Barker. Cool. It's a piccolo snare and triplet hi-hats. Like
I'm telling you. There needs to be a new section on Spotify called "Not Featuring Travis Barker,"
because
it would be smaller than the rest of the playlist. So either way, good for Travis Barker.
Bro, Travis Barker featured on every fucking song on Earth and dating Kourtney Kardashian. Homeboy is just making a return.
Yeah, he's got the ROI.
Charging like crazy money for his features or no?
Nah, I don't.
It depends on who it is, but I would say he like with somebody like Dirty Heads, he's probably just getting like a good portion of the writing, even though the song's already written, right? Plus production, plus master, plus like deal points.
Plus the label's paying for all these features at the end of the day. Like, you know, it's like Columbia's paying for these features. Like, it's no skin off anybody's back, and Travis Barker's just making money. So, all right, that was on the list, off the list. Let's go into what the fuck we've been listening to before we get into Catastro. My what the fuck I've been listening to this week is Warren Zevon, no specific songs. Warren Zevon, I tweeted this out the other day and I got a lot of responses back, is one of the most underrated American songwriters of all fucking time. And it's of course, the classic fucking Werewolves in London and Lawyers, Guns, and Money. Yeah. And then the saddest song of all time, Keep Me in Your Heart a While. Shout out to Warren Zevon, dude. By the way, worked with Bruce Springsteen early on. Bruce wrote a lot of his early stuff together. And there's a song on Bruce's new album that was actually a song he co-wrote with Warren Zevon that he redid in 2021. So shouts the fuck out to Warren Zevon, dude. Dave, what the fuck have you been listening to on your road trip playlist?
I fired up Turnpike Troubadour. I never really got into them, and I know I'm like totally Johnny come lately with them, but for someone who doesn't really like country music, I know they're not technically country, but they're like country-ish. Like, they're fucking awesome. Good Lord Laurie, like, that song will be stuck in my head for the next like 2 months. And it's perfect in the summer, especially with Milwaukee, Miller Park, or whatever they call it now. It's an awesome tailgate scene. We are blasting a bunch of country music, which is a perfect country music setting, I think. And I'm like, these guys are fucking great. They're great.
Did you wear the cowboy hat?
I did not. No, you can only bust that on special occasions.
Weddings, funerals, and bar mitzvahs. Dave's there with the cowboy hat on, dude. All right. Robbie, what the fuck have you been listening to?
I had prepared the two new Lord songs, but since we talked about those a little bit, I'll pivot this and say the other night, me and my girlfriend had like a chill night. We were hanging out and I put on just Otis Redding, which I had never really done before. I put on like This Is Otis Redding on Spotify. We listened to that for 2 hours.
You could listen to that for two fucking days, baby.
It was 2 hours of the most enjoyable, chill music. Every single song fit the tone of the night, the tone of the evening. Oh my God, I will be doing that way more often. Talk about smoking music.
I told you guys like a week or two ago that I was blown away a couple years ago to find out that the Black Crowes did not write Hey Little
Hard
Thing.
Hard to Handle.
Right? Hard to Handle. Yeah. Fucking Otis Redding. And Otis's version? Are you fucking kidding
it's
me?
Great.
Like,
it's amazing.
Thing, I'm so fuck, man.
It's so
heavy.
Sick if you go back and listen to a lot of his shit, because he was in that phase in the music industry where everybody was just covering everything and it was basically like standards. Go listen to his version of Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones. It's fucking incredible. Not to mention, he's popping up in all these hip-hop samples now. Of course, Kanye sampled Try a Little Tenderness for Otis, but Coffee and Cigarettes, one of my fucking favorite songs of all time, literally makes me want to sit at my kitchen table and smoke fucking Marlboro Reds and drink black coffee. Sampled by Travis Scott and Quavo. Long live the memory of fucking Otis Redding. Not to mention, he died super young. Super young before he ever really hit his pinnacle or got to see the returns on what he did. Sitting on a Dock by the Bay came out 6 months after Otis Redding died.
I didn't know that. That's fucking crazy. You know, he does a shockingly, I mean, not shockingly, because obviously everyone knows she's so talented, but an amazing cover of that is Sarah Bareilles. Going to the Sarah Bareilles Spotify. Oh my God, her sitting on the Dock of the Bay is tremendous.
Everybody plays drums for her.
I would love to have her on the podcast. She's fucking awesome. She has a really cool
job. She's amazing.
Email as we were recording. I don't know if you guys saw that.
What?
Black Pumas got back to us.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. We'll edit this out. Black Pumas are going to come on in October and November.
I was going to say leave it in, but we can take it out.
Nah, fuck it. Now we'll put the pressure on them.
Hey, they said revisit back in October or whatever, which we will be doing. That'd sounds be a good. Fucking score. They're fucking so good.
We do have some guests coming up too, and we'll get into that. But Kenny, what the fuck have you been listening to?
You know me, man. I'm like Robbie. I take it back. I went deep the other day on Huey Lewis and the fucking News. Bro.
Let's go! When,
and I was watching Back to the Future, right? There's no better 80s fucking cocaine-fueled raging band like Huey Lewis. dun, dun, don't need money. Bah, bah. Like, are you fucking kidding me? It's heavy metal, son. It's heavier than Slayer. It's the best.
I've seen them. They do, I mean, I don't know if they're still doing it, but like 6-8 years ago, they would do like festivals, like the bigger festivals in Chicago. There's one called Rib Fest, and they would come out for that. They're good. They're great.
Dude, the best, man. Oh, my God.
Give me some fucking 80s Coke-fueled bullshit tour. Give me Huey Lewis in the News. Give me fucking Hall & Oates. Give me that shit. I'll go there with all the dads. Me and the dads will be getting rowdy. We'll be fucking
smoking. I'll wear cargo khaki shorts with a web belt and a tucked-in polo, and I will fucking rage, son.
Dog, we're fucking getting ready for that show with Jane's Addiction and fucking Cheap Trick, all the dad bands. Me and Ken, our whole conversation last week was, how do we get the dads going? What do we do to get the fucking Coke-fueled dads to get out on the lawn and start partying, just like whip their heads around?
I think the opening chords of You Shook Me All Night Long just trigger something in dads.
Well, this is another conversation we need to have. So now we're in preparation fully. Episode 2 of the video series is getting done, where I'm talking to the band about what it is that we're going to have Dave play at this fucking show. And we need to figure out what cover we're going to have Dave play. And Highway to Hell was one of the suggestions. We were like, what has three fucking chords? And we'll just have Dave go out there and rage.
I'm on a highway to hell.
Dude, bow, You Shook Me All Night Long might be the move. Like, we can get as corny as possible. Let's do some Journey. Let's do some fucking Foreigner.
Some of these are not easy. Those Journey melodies are so fucking difficult.
Journey is not going to be super easy.
Yeah, hang on. Let me just cover Steve fucking Perry.
We have Erica. We have Erica to sing. Erica can sing anything.
Oh, there you go. Maybe it's better if he plays like a Jewel song or something.
Dave, any opinion here? Because we need to get into this.
Hold on. I'm trying. Jewel would be funny.
Like, Jewel would be great. And I'm in acoustic and familiar.
Now, hold on a second, though. We need to consider the crowd we are playing to. This is Coke-fueled dads. We need dads.
Oh, wait. Are we trying to impress the crowd, or are we trying to do a joke?
I think they impress can go with the joke, right?
Right. That's what that right. Punish,
like, your band's name or anything.
There's nothing you could do that, Dave. You're already on stage. It's fucking sick as it is. Personally,
Fuck, though. Maybe it should be Huey Lewis. Dun, dun, don't need money. Like, the whole crowd would get into that, and it's funny.
So my big thing is, it's a win-win for me in this situation because the content's going to be fucking electric regardless.
You guys are going to be kind of play your instruments like, darn it, and you're going to be like pissing yourself in laughter, and it's just going to be a shit show.
Bro, you're going to see when I go on stage, my eyes roll in the back of my head. I become a different human being. So I'm fine either way. But I just, no matter what here, I win because it's either Dave fucks up miserably and the content is electric, or Dave fucking slays, he's legendary.
And the content is electric.
It's electric. There's no wrong answers here, Dave. So I'm just interested. We need to pick a song soon so we can really start getting cracking on this shit.
I've been working on a few. I didn't touch it this weekend. Oh, it's in my bedroom. I moved it. But
he's been having sex with it.
I've been fucking with. So we'll narrow a list down and we'll pick it, I don't know, next couple weeks.
How about a little Hollywood Nights by Bob Seger?
That's my casino song. So my dad and I go to the casino every single Thanksgiving Day and then Christmas Day. It's like a tradition. And we play Hollywood Nights because when I was 21, the first year we started doing that, we both won. Like bit. So we're like, oh, that's the fucking good luck song. I don't think we've won since, but we'll keep running that song in ground. So I'll do that.
Well, regardless, we're going to come to a decision soon because that deadline is creeping the fuck up. So we're going to get to cracking on that. Like I said, episode 2 will be rolling out soon. On top of that, we have a couple big guests coming up. Not to mention the fact that, Robbie, we have to get our second episode of the Classic Album Reviews done. We got Houses of the Holy by Led Zeppelin coming up. So we're going to get that done soon. But we have Luke Dick, who is one of my favorite songwriters on God's green fucking earth, coming on the podcast. We're doing that interview on Thursday. He wrote Bluebird by Miranda Lambert, which is one of my favorite fucking songs. He got nominated for Song of the Year at the Grammys last year. He also wrote a lot of Eric Church's new album. He also has a fucking alt band called Hey Steve. They used to be called Republican Hair. He did a lot of shit with Patrick Carney from the Black Keys, of course, Kenny's best friend. But this dude is a fucking monster, and he just put out a fucking, it's like a documentary about his mom's life last year called Red Dog. I'm not going to spoil anything about it, but it's fucking awesome. Go check that out online. It's somewhere, but we have a lot of great guests coming up. We do have Catastro coming up as well. Boys, anything else this week?
Let's
nothing on me, baby.
5 days of our life's coming up leading into the weekend. How's that?
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way to look at life. Yeah, just burn these next 5 days to get to the weekend. Oh, Dave, by the way, you said it was going to be the best day of your life. Does that have to do with the White Sox?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit.
All right, that's
weird.
Like my only, they're like the only thing I actually care about. My dog's ripping ass too, by the way.
Oh, man.
Love it, dude. Robbie, thank you for coming back as always. Like I said, we're going to set a date for the this week, early next week, to record the fucking Zeppelin episode. Anything you have going on this week?
Nope.
You want to do you want to say anything about Conor McGregor snapping his leg?
Yeah, this shit happens. You know, he's coming back with the bionic leg next time, and he'll knock him out in the first round.
Do you think
he's going to fight Jake Paul?
No.
I hope
it's so fucking typical, though. It's like from Jake Paul. Hey, Conor, you just broke your leg. Want to fight? Like, yep. Are you fucking kidding me, bro? Oh, also not in a UFC ring, like. I fucking hate those goddamn brothers, man.
Who is he fighting? Isn't he fighting like Tyron Woodley or something?
Yeah. He could knock him out, maybe.
He's going to get his fucking ass beat.
He knows what he's doing a little bit. Yeah. Like, Rob, what do you think would happen between him and Biz? Do you know Biz well?
Yeah. I mean, like, we're not like friends, but we've hung out a few times. I think Jake Paul would probably beat him. I mean, I hate to say it, like if we can make this fight happen, I'll get Biz's corner and sell the fight. But like Paul's been training to box for like 4 years. I think the guy who is a boxer would be a better boxer.
One thing you can say about Biz, no matter what, though, he's a businessman. He's a smart businessman.
Yeah. Oh, yes, he is.
And he's got a fucking, I'm sure his jaw is made of concrete. So I don't think he's going to like knock him the fuck out, but it'd be an interesting fight to see. Good for everybody involved.
Loose cannon, Gene. So
yeah.
All right. Well, boys, another great episode. We'll get back to everybody next week. Let's go into our pick of the week with Catastro. All right, ladies and gentlemen, for our pick of the week this week, we got a man from a band who just released a new album called Sucker, and he's here to talk about their new single, The Way I Feel. Coming right out of Arizona, we got Ryan from Catastro. How we doing, brother?
Dude, I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm great, man. First off, I just have a question, because I know you're from the Phoenix area. You guys all are. Suns in seven, or yeah. Are you guys just giving up?
No, we're never giving up. It's going to be Suns in seven for sure. I'm about to have a heart attack. We're in our recording studio right now, but I told everybody we got to be out of here by like 4:30 because there's no way we're missing this game. Dude, yeah, it's been a roller coaster because things were so looking amazing at first, but we still have faith.
I want nothing more than to see you guys win because I don't want an Eastern Conference team to win. I'm a diehard Sixers fan. I love Devin Booker. I'm very jealous of the Devin Booker situation you guys have. But god damn it, can we just give Chris Paul something? He's been so good for so long.
Dude, I know, man. And we got a what's the ref's name? He's on tonight.
Oh,
the one that always
God.
Fucks
the
with
same
Paul.
Dude every single Scott, time.
Yeah,
Scott Foster.
He's the one. Yeah, Scott Foster. So he's on tonight, and I'm like, we're fucked. But we still got faith, man. The Suns actually invited us out, and we played the rally like last week for the finals for game three. So they do the rallies inside the stadium since it's like 115 degrees out here. And we got to play some of these new tracks off this album in front of like 15,000 people in our home state. It was dope.
But at the same time, you guys did lose that game. So do you feel personally responsible?
Well, yeah, I'm thinking maybe we cursed it. We brought it like bad energy into the crowd, and then they've just been holding on to that for the last three games, but we'll see.
So note to everybody, if your team has any chance of winning the NBA finals, don't ever play a Catastro song or you're fucked.
Yeah. Don't fucking call us. We'll ruin it for sure.
Oh my God, dude. First off, we're going to get into the song The Way I Feel soon. But first of all, I just want to say, this song is one of those songs that you listen to it and it just feels fucking amazing. It's such a lovely song. And then you listen to the lyrics and it's completely not. Can you explain how this song got made?
Yeah, I mean, that's really exactly it. Like our last two albums like got really dark and super like minor. We talked a lot about like drug addiction and shit that we were going through in the past and bad relationships and just like bouncing around through weird fucking times. And we were on tour in 2020 and then it got canceled, you know, because COVID. And so we went home and we're like, what do we do? So we started writing and it just didn't feel right to keep writing like super dark music because everything just felt weird as it was. Like nobody needs that right now. You know what I mean? we kind of put it out. We wanted to make something a little more positive, a little more upbeat, and just have that cool vibe. And so we made that one, and we were trying to come up with lyrics, but we were doing too positive of lyrics over it. We just like hated the fucking song. And once we got like that first line, like, I just want to let you know your attitude is fucking whack. It just kind of set the mood for the whole thing.
Bro, when you're coming into that, I'm like, oh man, this is beach music. This is good time music. This is vibe music. And the first lyric is, I just want to let you know your attitude is fucking whack. And I'm like, where are we going here? The shit is awesome though. And I do have a question, because I really like the way you put that. A lot of the bands that we talk to, we always cover like, what has the last year been like for you? And to hear that you guys like took the time to kind of adjust that you were, what you were doing, like, was it a conscious decision to make something different going into quarantine?
Dude, 100%. Because like I said, like, our last stuff just got so introspective and like bad, you know. It was just like, it was just all about like bad things that were happening, like drugs, women, this like crazy like chaos and bad nights and shit. And so if everybody in the world was feeling bad all the time because of COVID, it's just like nobody knew. I mean, this was like, we started writing this one, you know, in like March of 2020.
So right, like right in the, when right shutdown the thick happened, of things,
we all thought it was going to be like 2 months. Yeah, we didn't know how long it was going to be. And then like, you keep seeing it getting weirder and scarier, and like grocery stores are getting like ransacked for toilet paper. You're like, what the fuck's going on out here? So we was just like, it didn't feel right. Like, we'd come up with these like super dark, thick and like beats and shit go over, and it just like felt too like overbearing with like how everything else was going. Like, we'd leave the studio writing that and then go home, and it's just bad out there too, and it's like, what is going on? So we're just like, dude, we need to do something upbeat, more fun, play to our scene. Like, our fans are always been in that reggae scene, and we've always been like the weird outsiders in there. So we're like, let's do our still our style and still have like our lyrical content, but like, let's make people feel good at the same time.
What do you guys consider yourself? And we always appreciate talking to bands that have a lot of different influence that they have in their music. And you do get the reggae thing, you get the hip hop thing, but like, what would you call your style of music?
I don't know, man. It's really hard. Like, we change our sound a lot every album that we do. So we've had albums that are straight alt rock, and we have some that are just straight more like hip hop, all program stuff. And like, we do it all ourselves, but we're really just like a mixture of all of our different musical backgrounds. Like, our drummers was really into punk and stuff when we started the band, and I was into like R&B and jazz and stuff. Our singer was just a rapper, and our guitarist was like classic rock. So we kind of came in and we were just doing like these funk live hip hop stuff was like the whole goal, was like be the backing band for the rapper. And when we started writing our own music and stuff, it just, this is the sound we have. So I tell people like alt rock, but with some hip hop and like funk stuff in there, but it's not like one specific thing.
Bro, we had Revolution on, and that was like the first thing he was like trying to tell us. Eric from Revolution was like, because Dave, our other co-host, is a huge reggae guy.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I love the reggae shit, blah, blah, blah. And Eric was like, well, I mean, we're not just reggae. Like, people always want to say that. But it's fun for me to watch bands experiment and do different things. I know personally, we always do something different every single song, let alone record. But like,
yeah, for sure.
Like, touring in that reggae scene, because I know you guys are going on the road with Denim and Sideways and bands like that. Like, is it weird to go to these reggae shows sometimes and like not be completely that?
Oh my God, dude. We, one time we played a festival in Humboldt, and it was like, it was called Reggae on the River or something. Mm. And it's just straight up full, like 100% wooks out there. it's like very grimy. Lots of people with hula hoops and stuff. And, it was like all roots musicians and us. And we were like, what are we doing here? We went on stage and it was so bad, man. It was just like everybody just stood in the back with their arms crossed. Like, I can't hula hoop to this. Like, I don't know. It was so weird. Like, we definitely have those situations where we play certain crowds and it's just not the same. Like, we do well with like the Dirty Heads, with Rome and those kinds of guys. But there are some where, I mean, and we know it, we don't try to like say we are what we aren't, you know? But yeah, that's for sure. It happens and it can be pretty uncomfortable.
Bro, we had a huge show that got canceled because of quarantine. And the lineup was fucking Disturbed. The Who were like these huge, like Nordic throat singers, like death metal throat singers.
Dude, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And then like Royal Blood, who I love and we actually kind of fit with. And then like us.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is cool, but like people are going to be like, what the fuck is this pussy bullshit? Like, I kind of love that feeling of
being
the black sheep in a lineup. And it seems like you guys might have to deal with that from time to time.
Oh yeah, dude, it happens a lot. I mean, a lot of the time we don't try to go after those kinds of tours because we know it's not really going to be beneficial for them and for us, you know. But there's been a ton of those situations. Luckily, we're usually the harder ones there, and like we're never the like, I don't know. Like if we open up for Disturbed, it would be the weirdest fucking feeling in the world. Dude, but that's kind of with our sound. I was just saying, like with our sound, since we do so many different styles, like we've done full rap shows. Like we open up for like Method Man, Redman, and shit, and like we'll just do a more hip hop oriented set, or we'll do like we opened up for I think it was KG Elephant and Young the Giant, and we did more of our alt rock songs on that set. And we just kind of like we can kind of move our sound around.
Bro, that's so funny you mentioned KG Elephant, because the way I feel the beginning of the song, the like the boppy synth or whatever the fuck that is, it's going in the beginning, reminded me of a KG Elephant song.
That's dope. Yeah, we love those guys. We've always been big fans of theirs. So it wasn't on purpose, but that's probably we probably felt that vibe and we're like, yeah, we need to keep this going.
Oh, the funny thing is, are you the vocalist? Who's the vocalist?
No, I play bass and synths and stuff.
Why do we always get bass players? We always get bass players, bro. Always.
We have the most free time.
Yo, we just had Chris from Anti-Flag, who's a fucking bass player.
Oh, hell yeah.
Dude, everybody we get is a bass player. I don't know. Maybe you guys just have the best personality. Our bass player is a giant goon. He's not going to come on here and talk.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to make up for it somehow.
What I was going to say was, you guys reminded me a lot vocally and delivery-wise of the Dirty Heads. And Duddy B is a friend of the program. He's been on before. And that is a fucking high compliment. So to be able to blend the fucking KG Elephant world, the reggae world, and the Duddy B kind of rapping style and Jared and all them, that's fucking so dope.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, we started out, like I said, just straight up like a hip-hop band. We just wanted to do that. So all our stuff was like more... like we would cover like old funk bands like the Meters and have our singer just rap whatever over it and like and stuff like that. And so once we kind of got more in the scene, it just became that own thing. And like we used to open up for the Dirty Heads way back in the day when they would bring like 100 people and we would bring all of our drunk high school friends over and they were like, all right, ask that band again because they bring 100 drunk asshole kids to the show. And then we kept doing that. And then like, you know, 4 years later, they have us open up for them at Red Rocks twice and shit. So we've gotten a lot of like just being in that scene, we've been able to experience a lot of different things. I don't think we would have if we were starting out in a different scene.
They're such good dudes too. They're fucking great guys, man.
Yeah. Yeah, man, they're the best.
I mean, looking at it though, so you guys have been around since 07. You've been kicking around since 07. And to kind of have things really, really, really moving in that right direction. You got the Spotify playlist, you got Press Nail, like, do you feel like the past year has been good for you guys in a weird way? Like a lot of people I feel like I've been talking to like have really utilized the past year to their advantage.
Oh, dude, 100% I do. You know, there's no like, you know what it's like. Like you're touring all the time. We're burning ourselves out so hard. Like we on that tour that we were about to start, our tour manager quit like the month beforehand. And it was like, I was going to be tour managing it. And I was like, oh my God, I can't do this. We're setting up our own lights and all this crazy shit. And like, we're going out and it gets canceled after the second date. And we're like, okay, like good. Like, honestly, we were just like, this is going to be too much. So, I mean, there's never ever been a time, I don't think there ever will be again, where we have a full year to write an album and like really sit on it and like, you know, pick it apart. Our last couple albums, we'll go out to like a cabin and we'll write for 2 weeks. And whatever we write in those 2 weeks, that's the album. Like, we don't have time to like pick and choose and stuff. So we really like utilize this. Like we want to set ourselves up for the best possible scenario once it all comes back, and it's working out for us right now.
Bro. And not only that, now you actually want to be on the road. You know what I mean? Like now it's like, yeah. I actually miss it.
Yeah. I can't wait. Dude, it was so weird. Like coming home and then you're like the first time I was home for longer than a month at a time. And I was just like, I'm going crazy in here. Like, I don't know what to do. My wife would be like, take out the trash.
Yo, I was just going to say,
like, I haven't taken out trash in like years. Just,
I remember like it was like 2-3 months into quarantine, my wife being like, this is so nice. Isn't this nice if you just did this all the time? And I could tell like 6 months in, it was like, hey, do you have something to do? Like, do you have somewhere to be? You know what I mean? Oh my fucking God.
Yeah, dude. It was definitely like, but then you get past that and then you get used to being at home. But now we're going out on tour. I'm like, I'm super excited, but also like anxious. Like when we were first starting, I'm just like, oh, this is going to be weird. I'm like, I'm excited.
Dude, I'm so glad everybody that we've talked to has been so transparent, and I'm not a fucking lunatic in saying that, like, I do feel weird about going back onto the road. I'm excited, but, like, I have to convince, like, we were just in New York for, like, a day last week. And I felt weird being like, I was like, I don't know how to travel anymore. This is so fucking weird.
Right. Yeah, I know. Like, that's why we did that, that Suns halftime thing. It was the first time we played in front of anybody in over a year. And it was like 15,000 people. And I was like, this is going to be so weird, but it was like kind of perfect. Cause we got to, it was just like a 15 minute set. You know, you walk out there, you play real quick, you get off. Like we got to like kind of do a deep dive real quick, dip our toes in and get comfortable. But we're playing some Phoenix shows next week, which is our hometown, and they're going to be fucking crazy. So it's going to feel really good, I think.
The only way it could feel better, honestly, is if you guys are celebrating a championship at the same time. That would be fucking epic. Just do me a favor and don't go to any Suns events and play any songs, and you guys should be
fine. We're done. We're done. I'm gonna watch privately at home. That's it.
Dude, I mean, we were talking about this off air, but like you're talking about like that feeling of going and like 15,000 people for your first time back. Imagine your first show ever being in front of 25,000 people. That's what Dave's doing.
I am so excited. I cannot wait to see that because I just want to see the look on his face before he walks out in front of that many people. Because even if you're doing it a lot, if you're not doing like a fucking stadium every day, it freaks you out at first. Like we did, I think like a 10,000, 12,000 in San Diego with Iration. And like, I remember I was just like, we've done it a bunch of times, like played in front of that many people. But like right before I went out, I was like, oh fuck, like I have anxiety right now. Like, I don't know what's going on. You just go, it's like a rocket, you know?
Yo, that is exactly the right way to put it. Because, I mean, we've done giant festivals and shit like that. We've been in front of, like, a ton of people. A lot of outdoor shit. When we did a stadium with Bon Jovi. We opened for Bon Jovi at a stadium with 23,000 people.
Nice.
And I walked out on stage, and it was like jumping out of a fucking airplane. Like, it was a 25-minute set, and I literally blinked, and it was over. I was like, what?
Dude, the first time we played Red Rocks was like that, where it was like, we were so excited that I honestly don't even remember playing it because it was just like I walked out there and did it and blacked out. Like I literally just couldn't remember anything because I was just so happy. Like just looking off in this place, like, you know, we grew up watching those Incubus, you know, live from Red Rocks videos and stuff. And it was just like so surreal. And like, we got to play it the year later again with Dirty Heads again. And like that time I really like was able to soak it in because you really had just, takes over like your body, just your full muscle memory. You're out there and you're just like experiencing so much crazy shit at the same time.
I think it's such bullshit that they put me on stage 5 minutes after meeting Bon Jovi, like getting to shake Bon Jovi's hand, and then I gotta be like, all right, bye John. Like I gotta go do this now.
Bye, but, John.
Jesus,
that's funny, man.
All right, so you guys just dropped the new album. Throw me some tour dates, let everybody know where they can see you.
Yeah, we're doing just quick like one off weekend warrior type shit. So we're doing Phoenix, Arizona for two nights this coming weekend. We have three dates in Colorado that we just added a second night to one of the shows in August here. And then we're also doing about four shows in California. And you can find those dates at catastrophemusic.com.
Beautiful, man. Ryan, this has been a fucking pleasure. Good luck to the Suns. Stay away from the team. You guys should be fine. And we're going to have you back on soon. All right. We're going to have you back on for a longer interview.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely, right, man. Dude, I appreciate it. That's fun.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go into The Way I Feel by Catastro.
I just want to let you know your attitude is fucking whack. When I say I love you, though, you don't even say I love you back. Missed calls on the cell phone. It's not like I would keep a track. I ain't trying to run it back. I ain't having none of that. That's just the way I feel. You say it's the same shit every day. Don't even wanna know. I don't care anymore. I don't care what you say. Ooh, wait till the shit blows over. We only get along when we're sober. But that was way back when I was six shots in and we talking like it's over. Oh no, where did all the love go? Saw you in the club, I was too turned up though. I don't even give a fuck though, think I had enough, yo. That's just the way I feel, I feel, I feel. That's just the way I feel, I feel, I feel, I feel. I don't care what you say. It's the
that's just the way I feel. I